Testing. Ah, I can hear myself.
But what do the public think about all of this?
That's Tootsie.
Is it?
Yeah. That's how she talked.
Never saw Tootsie.
I'm turning the page. Oh, that's all that happened today. That's pretty much it. Yeah, let me mention this, however. If you want to, forget it. I was going to tell you how to make acorn squash, but anyway, it's 5:34. Currently 48 degrees outside. Got another half hour to go. Next week, of course, we will be back in full with news. All of our segments will be pumped, primed, and ready for juicing, whatever that means. This is the Colonel T Show on the WMSR Radio Network.
Dr. D with you once again, hoping you enjoyed the movies we played for you on your radio today. Next week, we're going to take a look at a type of music that's inspired a whole lot of demented humor, and that is classical music. If you love classical music, I'm sure you'll enjoy some of this, at least if you have a sense of humor. And if you hate classical music, you will positively love next week's show. We're also going to salute hunting season with a couple of tunes, and Spike Jones and PDQ Bach will be among the many fine demented artists featured. If you'd like to write me a letter, the address is P.O. Box 884, Culver City, California, 90230. P.O. Box 884, Culver City, California, 90230. Robert Young is the associate producer of the Dr. Demento Show. Chris Lindsley, our engineer. Jimmy Powers, production assistant. The Dr. Demento Show is a weekly presentation of the Westwood One Radio Network. Executive producer Norm Pattis. Thanks a whole lot for listening. Till next time, don't forget to stay demented.
Is reality making too much sense? We have the antidote. The Sterling Remedy Company and its family of products presents Confused. For the next half hour, we invite you to step into the fourth dimension as we present an all-new weekly radio serial in living stereo. Weird tales of the nonsensical, the farcical, the unexplained. Tonight, the Sterling Remedy Company and the Framundia Broadcast System bring you a gripping tale of intrigue and forbidden love entitled Blue-Eyed Persuasion, or Murder Not Included, starring Milton Cornbloom and Maureen Grass. But before our drama begins, here is a word from our good friend, Seamus Plug, about the newest member of the Sterling Remedy Company family, Cascaretto.
Why, thank you, Roger. You know, listening to radio thrillers isn't the only way to coax your bowels into emptying. Now there's a better way. Let's look in on a typical couple with a typical problem.
Ugh.
What's the matter, dear?
My stomach's in revolt. Curse my gluttony. What I wouldn't give to feel like a regular human being again.
It could be your bowels. Sounds like you need a safe, healthful dose of delicious, fast-acting Cascaretto.
Cascaretto? What is that? A tonic? An elixir?
It's a miracle. And now it's safe for humans.
Overeating and overdrinking overload the stomach. Failing to regularly assist nature in disposing of the partially digested lumps of food that are dumped into the bowels is what causes all the fuss. But new Cascaretto will help nature help you. Pleasant and refreshing to the taste, it acts gently and positively on the kidneys, liver, bowels, and soul, cleansing the entire system.
Honey, you've been in the bathroom for 3 hours now. What are you doing?
It's not what I'm doing, it's what Cascaretto's doing. I feel reborn.
Candy, cathartic, and cure for chronic constipation. Cascaretto, lightening the ills of humanity. Buy and try a box of Triple C today. Just 20 cents, though possibly worth more. Guaranteed to cure, guaranteed safe. We promise.
And now, part one of Blue-Eyed Persuasion. A tale hastily written to keep you thoroughly confused.
New York City. The Big Apple. This story starts where most stories end, at the ending.
That was tonight's strange story of mystery and suspense, hastily written and carefully calculated to keep you hopelessly confused. If Featured in tonight's cast were the voices of Mr. Milton Kornblum as Sam Wright, Maureen Grass as Miss Rosalind Leading, and Pierce Braddock as Tillman, Lieutenant Jeffries, and the janitor. Join us next week as we present another lackadaisically written story that will keep you completely confused. How was that one? Better?
Well, it wasn't worse. That's my partner, Tillman, an aspiring voiceover man and part-time writer with no real talent. The radio script we'd been working on all day, in lieu of actual work, wasn't working out, so I sent him home to practice his saxophone. By the way, my name's Wright. I'm an investigator. I remember it was a Tuesday, late October. I was doing a little investigating, thumbing through the latest issues of Detective Heroes magazine and getting friendly with a root beer, when suddenly... she walked in. But since I forgot to mention the raised threshold, it was more of a stumble. She lay on the floor with a sort of undignified grace, a stunning vision of disheveled loveliness. Smeared lipstick, tousled hair. She was like an angel. Then she began to move, awkwardly struggling to her feet while still trying unsuccessfully to be ladylike about it, a dust bunny clinging desperately to her kneecap.
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Her sarcasm was alluringly repellent. Then she started to slink forward again, just the slightest trace of a limp. She was dressed all in black with a veil covering her face. Maybe that's why she had such a hard time seeing where she was going. She could have just come from a funeral dressed like that. Hips, arms, upper torso, she had them all. And the kind of legs that went all the way to the ground. Yes, sir. She was the kind of mystery a fella could really get interested in solving. Then the veil came up, and there were those eyes. They were blue, ice blue, almost cerulean, like a bottle of Windex and mint-flavored Listerine. My tongue started to burn just looking at them. Then she spoke.
Is
too tight.
Are you? Could you lose the saxophone?
Wait a minute. Tillman. Thought I told you to go practice at home.
Fine.
Sorry, you were saying?
Are you Mr. Wright?
You mean like my name or like a dating prospect?
You're the detective. You figure it out.
I couldn't tell if she was being ironic or sarcastic. So I decided to buy myself some time, play it cool, furrow the brow, throw on the half-cocked smile, do that Bruce Willis thing with my mouth, lean back in the chair, but not too much.
Stupid breakaway chairs. Now then, you hear about a case?
How did you know?
I didn't. My little man knew.
Little what?
My little man, the one inside. Don't you have one of those?
No.
What? I thought everyone had one of those. Say, do you want to meet him?
No. No. It's you I wanted to see. Thank goodness I'm not too late. I just didn't know where else to turn.
I'll bet there's a lot you don't know.
Excuse me?
Please, won't you sit down? I'm just going to enjoy a sucker. How about you, dum-dum?
No, I'm generally considered quite intelligent.
How can I help you?
Well, Mr. Wright...
Please, call me Sam.
All right, Sam. I'm in serious trouble. I need to leave town as soon as possible. Are we alone?
Why, of course. Just you, me, these four walls, and... Tillman.
I forgot my case!
Yeah, go on. It's safe now.
Well, my father was abducted sometime after breakfast 3 days ago by a very vague and very desperate group of people. Now they're holding him in a warehouse somewhere east of New York.
East of New York? You mean Montauk?
Wait, no, west, sorry.
West of New York? Now, wait a minute, they could be anywhere.
Yes, as I mentioned, they were vague.
Now, do you at least know what state he's in?
Pretty good, I think. He sounded okay when I talked to him.
That's not really what I meant.
Listen, my father left behind some very important documents for safekeeping. But now, he's in serious trouble, and I must get those documents to him. His life may depend on it. Oh, please, Mr. Wright, I'm desperate.
Desperate. This is my kind of woman.
I was given instructions to be on the 1215 out of LaGuardia tonight.
The 1215 out of LaGuardia, got it. Where do I come in?
The front door. You'll see a sign that says enter. But listen, There isn't much time. You have to go to Grand Central Station first. You'll find a black leather attaché case inside a locker. Here, take the key.
But how do I...
You just put your hand out and I give it to you.
I know, but...
There. Now I can't get the briefcase myself. I think someone's following me.
Sure, it wasn't just Tillman. He seems to be popping up all over the place.
Hold it!
Go home!
Oh, please! You must help me. You're the only one I can trust.
My little man told me this was a bad idea. How could I say no to this poor, sweet kid? I offered her my kerchief. But she chose not to use it, apparently opting for my tie instead. But this was my big chance. I couldn't let it down.
All right, all right. Listen, I'll do it.
Really? Hold on. Wow, that was easy. I mean, oh, really? You mean it? Oh, thank you, Cam.
Sam,
I knew I could count on you. Sorry about your tie.
No, it's actually an improvement. Now I can not wear it. Say, by the way, what's your name, Blue Eyes?
It's Leading. Miss Rosalind Leading. But my maiden name was Herring. You've likely heard of my father.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that your father is...
Yes. Red Herring. President and CEO of Red Herring Devices, Incorporated.
Sounds like a solid lead.
Now will you help me?
All right, Miss Leading, I'll help you. After I get the briefcase, when and where do I meet you?
LaGuardia Airport, gate 15. Be there at 5 after 12. My flight leaves at 12:15. Got it?
Well, no, I'm...
Shh! Now I must go. Until tonight, Mr. Knight.
She locked eyes with me as she left. The brave kid backing out of the room like that. She probably didn't even remember the raised threshold. The lady knew how to make an exit. I'll give her that much.
We'll return to this evening's experiment in confusion in just a moment. But first, poignant question.
Has this happened to you?
Are you ready to take me out for a night on the town, Henry?
I sure am, Pumpkin. How do I look?
Ugh, you're not actually going out like that, are you?
Are the tails too much?
It's not your outfit. It's your body.
When bloated by bile, the human figure becomes unshapely, the breath comes under suspicion, and belchy colic obscures the merry sunshine of life. But now there's Cascaretto. Containing a potent combination of phytochemical extracts, it protects, rejuvenates, and augments liver function while going down like rugged manly candy. Remember, a healthy liver is the foundation of a healthy social life. Look and feel like a real man with just one fast-acting dose. Trust us, she'll notice.
Better, darling?
Oh my, there's something different about you.
Oh, I've just been exercising my liver.
Your liver?
Yes, liver, intestines, stomach lining. I even had to go up a shirt size. What do you think?
Wow, nothing makes a woman feel protected like a man with a healthy, robust liver. Shall we?
I didn't even tell her how toned my bowels are. Thank you, Cascaretto.
Now there goes a fellow with a confident inner swagger. Cascaretto, lightening the ills of humanity. Get a sample box of Triple C today for just a nickel. It's absolutely safe for humans. Seriously, we promise.
And now, back to tonight's drama, haphazardly written and guaranteed to keep you thoroughly confused. Red Herring was one of the biggest business owners in Manhattan. If I'd been hoping to catch a big fish, I'd certainly landed one. Everything had just gotten a lot more dangerous. The girl had pitched me a story, and I'd swung hard enough to knock it over the left field wall. Now I was running the bases. Was I going too fast? Shouldn't I have been more careful? And what was I doing again? It was too late to think about any of that now. I'd already fallen for the girl with the blue eyes and the sad story. I arrived at Grand Central Station determined to get what I'd come for. Pulled a silver key she'd given me from my coat pocket and headed for the nearest locker. 803 lockers later, I found it. Locker 804. This would have gone a lot quicker if she just told me the number. I didn't really know what I might find inside, despite what she said. I could be opening Pandora's box for all I knew. But I was too curious not to open it. So, I opened it. And there it was, the case. Just like she said. A little leather number with a lock. I looked at my watch. Got to wear it. I checked the clock on the wall. 11:30. 11:30? I didn't have any time to waste. I had to get to the airport and quick. Throwing dignity aside, I broke into a desperate sprint, for once not caring what a feminine run I had. And so, with arms flailing oddly and chest stuck out too far, I ran. We'll return to the final perplexing act of blue-eyed persuasion in just a moment. But first...
Parents, has something come between you and your child?
Hey, Mom, wanna throw the pigskin around? Not today, son. I'm feeling bilious. Again? Aw, gee, is it your liver stimulant? These pills and powders are made for men, not for women. They give me the grip, and my breath is constantly under suspicion. If only I could fool my lazy liver into exercising. I just don't know what to do.
Are you a woman? Do you suffer from headaches? Ladies whose sensitive organisms are especially prone to sick headaches find instantaneous relief in a single dose of Cascaretto. Yes, Cascaretto, the most wonderful medical discovery of the age. Pleasant and refreshing to the taste, it cleanses the entire system, dispelling colds, curing headache, fever, distemper, scrofula, habitual constipation, and biliousness. Unlike most bile drivers, which flood out the stomach today with juices needed for tomorrow, our patented formula stimulates the muscle lining of the stomach, creating a gastric gymnasium that fools your torpid liver into getting the exercise it so craves.
Wow, my headache is gone! But what about my children? They hate the taste of physics and pharmaceuticals. Will they like Cascaretto?
Nasty, sickening medicine is an injustice to the dear little innocents who can't protect themselves. It makes them peevish and afraid of the dose. However, children love the taste of Cascaretto, as this man can attest.
Yes, sir. My little boy was troubled by piles, dysfunction, and crossness. But after just one buckthorn tablet, he was sound and well. I myself took Cascaretto for a few nights before writing, and I was able to pass a tapeworm 24 feet in length. Yes, sir. Cascaretto has our praise, and the taste is so pleasant that my wife has to hide them from me, otherwise I eat them all like candy.
Not again, dear. I guess I'll just slide your dinner under the door.
Cascaretto's patented formula works while you sleep. As pleasant as candy, it's as congenial to your bowels as it is to your palate. A proven cure for headaches, piles, worms, and emotional problems. Guaranteed.
Come on, son. I'll race you to the druggist. And then I'll race you to the privy. Supposed to laugh. Oh.
Cascaretto. Candy, cathartic, and cure for chronic constipation. Brought to you by the Sterling Remedy Company.
And now we return to the final act of tonight's baffling drama, starring Mr. Milton Cornblum. Blue-eyed persuasion.
As I arrived at the terminal, all I could think about was how out of shape I was. The fog on the runway was thick, but even from 20 feet behind the passenger platform, I could make out the silhouette of the young woman who managed to steal my heart only a few short hours before.
Mr. Wright!
Miss Leedy! Rosalind! Thought that was you over there.
No, that's a stack of luggage. Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you. I'm just so grateful you're here. I was starting to worry. Please don't think less of me.
I assure you, that's not possible.
Is that my briefcase? Did you have any trouble getting it? Were you followed? Who are you?
Don't worry. Yes, it is. No, I didn't. I don't think so. And I'm good. Oh, here's your briefcase. Are you all right?
Yeah. Peachy. Oh, Dan.
Sam.
Sam. I don't know how to repay you for all you've done, but maybe...
She began fishing around in her purse for something, but I stopped her. No, Rosalind, I can't take your money.
I was just looking for a butterscotch. Do you want one?
No, I can't take your, butterscotch. Listen, Rosalind, I've never met anyone who... When a man's been burned, the risk you're taking for your father, it's just...
I'm sure if you finished any one of those thoughts, they'd be really sweet. But actually,
She leaned dangerously close and softly whispered something into my ear. Oh, hold on. Let me just, There we go. How about now? Is this better?
Ew, is that the same tie I blew my nose on, like, an hour ago?
I wanted to retch, but something stopped me. Final boarding call for Europe.
Well, I guess this
now
is...
Now listen to me, Rosalind. You're getting on that plane.
Yeah. I already bought my ticket.
Well, I guess you'd better be getting on that plane. Just wanted to make sure you had everything.
What I was going to say was, I don't know how to thank you, so I won't. Bye, Graham.
Sam.
Whatever.
The plane taxied down the runway and vanished into the fog. No one had ever kissed me like that before, and by like that I mean not kissing me at all. She'd given me several reasons to dislike her, but I couldn't decide on one, so I simply continued to be infatuated. She seemed so reluctant to leave, and yet so determined once she'd made up her mind. But this story would have ended very differently if the plane left just a few minutes later.
Attention all units, attention all units. Be on the lookout for a dangerous female. General description, 5'2", medium build, fakey blonde hair, and pretty blue eyes. Arrest on sight. Repeat, arrest on sight.
You just can't trust the dames in this town.
Could you ever... Wait a minute. That voice. Who? Tillman. What are you doing dressed like a police detective? This is the third role you've played.
Second. My janitor role was fat that needed trim from part two. But don't worry. We're not here for you. We came for her. Or more specifically, what she took with her.
What she... Oh, the briefcase.
We've been looking for Miss Blue Eyes for months now, but we couldn't find her. Then we got a call that something suspicious was going on at the train station. We located the briefcase, but noticed different guys moving it from locker to locker, like a game of three-card Monty. We found the lady, but couldn't find the girl, so we left it there as bait. But when you came and got it, we knew you'd lead us right to her.
So I was just a patsy doing a dirty work, nothing but a fool guy.
It's all right, son. Don't panic. The real case is right here. I switched him out a few days back. Our boys will be waiting to escort her off that plane when it lands. Then we'll set her up with a nice little room at Tehachapi. In fact, in recognition of a job well done, I'm going to enjoy a sucker. What about you, dum-dum?
Well, I certainly feel like one.
Well, that's why I was offering.
No, I mean I feel like a ding-dong.
Fine. Officer Benson, get this man a ding-dong.
All we've got are kink done, sir. Basically the same thing, though.
No, that'll work. Thanks.
By the way, I'm Detective Jeffries. NYPD Special Investigations Unit, 94th Precinct, Master of Disguise, twice decorated.
Oh, so that's why your lines are all so much meatier than mine.
Hey, don't complain. You get your own theme music. Plus, you get to do the closing monologue.
You don't say.
You bet.
What, you mean now?
No, after I deliver a couple more meaty lines. Now stand back. Say, kid, you ever thought about being a detective for real?
Well, I...
About trying to make a difference? About choosing to wear a badge, knowing you must be crazy for doing it?
Well, that's...
About spending your days and nights sifting through bits and pieces of other people's shattered lives, trying to make sense out of the mayhem?
But sometimes...
Looking life's dirty underbelly straight in the eye and spitting right into the navel.
Well, that...
About having to get knee-deep in the muck of this city.
Actually, I...
Scratching a living out of the dirt and the grime.
Really,
with black coffee and long, lonely hours, your only real companions.
Say, I...
Staring into the abyss each night and wondering what's wrong with this filthy world.
Jeep!
Because if you have... There's a spare desk down at the precinct. Just stolen bicycles and lost pets, but it's a start. You interested? The worm's on the hook, kid. You gonna bite?
Sure, why not?
Sammy, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful internship.
Don't call me Sammy.
That was your cue. This is where you do your monologue.
Oh, right.
Sometimes it takes a criminal to make a hero, and sometimes gambles actually pay off. Miss Blue Eyes wasn't much of a criminal, but she turned me into something I wasn't before. So to all you would-be sleuths, to any kid who ever dreamed big and cast his nets wide, take my advice. Run with it. Don't quit. Maybe one day fate will pluck you out of the crowd, shine you up and drop you in her pocket, just like she did me. Her name was Blue Eyes. My name's...
Right! Snap out of it! Some lady just called about a missing Pomeranian! Get on it! Chop, chop!
Right, Chief. I'm on it.
And right now there's a pit in trouble. Who am I? The name's Wright. Sam Wright. Small Crimes Unit for the NYPD. Blue-Eyed Persuasion was written by Tillman Hardwick
and directed by someone who is obviously clearly confused by it. Featuring the voice talents of Milton Kornblum, Maureen Grass, and Pierce Braddock. Mr. Milton Kornblum can currently be seen in Trouble, Debt, and Love for RKO Pictures. And now tonight's sponsor, the Sterling Remedy Company, makers of Cascaretto, bring you a final sobering message.
Oh, Doctor, isn't there anything that can be done?
I'm afraid not. I gave him a purgative an hour ago, but, well, it seems that his bowels have just given up. If only he'd taken better care of them early in life.
If only we'd listened to what his bowels were trying to tell us.
Constipation is indeed the curse of mankind. This dreadful destroyer of life gets a hold of its victim and slowly but surely tortures him into a horrible death. It's a fact that nearly every disease recorded by medical science has its beginning in the bowels. That's why exercise is so important to sound health. It's nature's cure for constipation. 2 hours a day sawing wood will keep anyone's bowels regular. A 10-mile walk will do if you haven't got a pile of wood. But if you prefer to take your exercise in an easy chair, then there's only one way to make a success of it, by creating artificial exercise and putting those lazy bowel muscles to work. Your bowels are not harshly conscripted into service, but gently coaxed into action without strain or violence. A few propulsive contractions later, and this purgative panacea will have made a merry log flume of your secret places. Make sure the road's clear and the train's on time with Cascaretto.
Honey, wake up!
What? Oh, Mark, I had a horrible dream. You had forgotten to take your purgative and...
Now, it's all right. See, I've got my tin of Cascaretto right here in my pocket, alongside the watch and lead pencil I always carry. My bowels have never been healthier.
What a relief. Thank you, Cascaretto.
And thank you to our audience for listening in to this week's confusticating radio play. But as the lackadaisical arms of reality pull you back into their quotidian embrace, don't forget that our door will be open to you once again next week as the Sterling Remedy Company and the Framundia Broadcast System present yet another flummoxing tale guaranteed to keep you utterly and hopelessly confused.
Can't shake this feeling that I burn up all my time chasing the clock around. So why should I cry? Why should I juggle a bag of rats and a tongue-tied cat and a bank of lonesome worries? Can't shake this town, it just churns for all it's worth. Jackhammer fist, just twist and twist. So why do I cry? Why should I struggle a broken back with my eyes rolled back and a bag of lonesome worry? I'm
Here, a female Eastern flightless Thompson's Bish has been out on the hunt. Today, her labors have paid off. She has made a killing.
Right ear.
Though the adult male Bish is larger and more brightly colored, the female possesses something he does not. Employment. And so he is content to leave the hunting to his mate.
We've brought you a pie.
The male Bish can consume up to a 20th of its entire body weight in the course of just one day, and not eat again for at least 6 hours.
Hey, buddy.
While the male Bish will spend much of its time lazily lounging about its den and watching television, it's a rare condition. It's the female who takes care of most of the responsibilities. Meanwhile, the bespectacled Momo has its eyes on bigger prey. He has developed his own unique method of ambushing chickens, a giant fly swatter. But the Momo's population is in steady decline. Scientists believe that ideas like this could be why. On the other hand, here we see the northern Arctic Candace, Candace pulchritratus. She is stalking an unsuspecting prey animal, a housefly. She is ready to strike. A grown female Candace can strike at animals at least 10 times smaller than herself with blinding speed. It's a clean kill. For the fly, it was simply a matter of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. However, Candace will need to swat several hundred flies today if she hopes to feed her growing family.
Really?
Fortunately, her husband is more sensible. Hello. He has just returned home with a sack of White Castles. But the Momo emerges from its hiding place and swats the bag with his giant swatter, stealing a slider and a box of fish nibblers.
Oh, fabulous day!
In an unexpected turn, Travis has found his way in through the doggy door and tackles the Momo, using his great arms to prize the nibblers and the sandwich from his competitor.
Not now!
While Momo is dazed, Trav makes his escape through a closed window. He lands on the concrete using the 6th of his 9 lives. But waiting in ambush outside is the speckled Cornbloom.
Over here!
Who now chases down Trav and pilfers the fish treats and slider for himself. He sprints down the sidewalk, but he trips over the dozing Kevus curled up on the ground. The fish nibblers scatter, and the beef patty rolls away down the street and into the path of the rose-headed Bish.
I ran into some money?
Who drops the bagel and eggs he's just purchased. And now the entire cast of the JBS assembles for a quick photo op before quickly shooting a comedy skit and then scurrying back into Kevin's house to watch what they just shot.
Did you do it?
No, we gotta do it.
Do it, for real.
Oh, am I doing it with other people?
Now.
I'm trying to develop theory.
This is stupid.
Ready? Let somebody else do that.
Thank you.
And so night descends on Mentor, the end of another day. As the evening fades to black, so do our cameras. But tomorrow will bring a new set of challenges and a new set of triumphs. Life will continue, as it always has, and as the sun's light is replaced by the glow of incandescent bulbs and LED screens, laughter can be heard as the events of the day are replayed over and over, the absurdity and the wonder of it all. Above the din, a voice can be heard from somewhere high overhead. As the stars crowd the sky, a bluish glint can be seen moving among them, tracing the horizon of the planet.
Far beneath the ship, the world is mourning. They don't realize I'm alive. No one understands, but Major Tom sees now the light commands. This is my home. I'm coming home. Drifting for
There isn't much air left up here. Maybe an hour, maybe less. Time is pretty short. I figure it's a good time to say all the things I haven't. Now, while you still have a chance to hear it, and I still have a chance to say it. It's funny how clear things get when you can see the curtain coming down. You know your time is almost up. I once said that some things that you did and said had a negative effect on me. While that might be true, those words were tactless, unkind, and spoken in the trouble of my heart. I know too well that the damage done in a single moment by a poorly chosen word can take decades to fix. But we don't have that. The truth is that the effect you had on me was so much more positive than negative. There are so many things that you did to help me become the man that I am today, and there is so much that I'm grateful to you for. You were always there for me when things got difficult. It was a real gift to know that I had someone to count on if my life ever fell apart, as it so often did. By acting in that way, you taught me the importance of family and loyalty and never abandoning the people you care about. You taught me to be an obedient and considerate person, but you also showed me how to make a stand and speak up when something needed to be said, even if those things were very difficult to say. I've become a courageous man because I studied your example of courage. By standing up for me, you taught me how to stand up for others. By not giving me everything I wanted, you taught me the value of what I actually had. You taught me to hate hypocrisy and stupidity, and try to be neither hypocritical nor stupid. And I learned that there are times to get involved in a situation, and times to walk away from them. Because you cared enough to make me do something I didn't want to do, I became graceful, agile, and coordinated in a way I never would have been without your being involved. The soccer field was a classroom where you taught me lessons about life, how to work with others to achieve a goal, to be able to lead or follow as needed, to read the game and anticipate what might happen next in any situation so that I could be aware of someone's need and be able to help, or to be able to see a danger and avoid it. You taught me to respect people of all backgrounds, races, and cultures. On the soccer field, they're all just players, and in life, they're all just people. You showed me how to take an interest in others, to get involved in my community, and to be a teacher. I learned how to use simple reason and common sense to intelligently and logically argue a point, because you set the example for me in doing so. I also learned that life doesn't always go the way you want it to, but you just have to keep trying and doing your best regardless. But most importantly, you taught me to have personal integrity, to believe in something worth believing in, and to be true to those beliefs, even if they sometimes make life harder. There are so many other things I could list, but space and time are limited, so I hope the few I've listed have made the point. I am a better man as a result of the things you taught me. You taught me about sacrifice. You taught me to be more. You taught me how to be a man. I hope that one day I'll be able to take all of the lessons I learned from you and teach them to my own children, and to be able to do for them all of the good things that you did for me. We can't choose the people who raise us, but in the end, I'm glad, very glad, that you were, that you are, my father. And I'm so proud to have been your son. I know we'll see each other again one day, when the unrealities of this world have finally become what they are, and the secret hopes in the hearts of humanity take their place. Until then, I hope that the love and gratitude of my heart continue to live in your memory. Your loving and grateful son. Always.
Two roads diverge in a yellow wood. and sorry I could not travel books and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, and then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trod on black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how a way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this, with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference.
Mission always defined me. Identity and purpose. Self and selflessness. Now, I don't know who I am. In the emptiness between who I was and who I will be, there's nothing. Nothing but fear.
Not fear. Freedom.
I never thought freedom would feel like this. Who am I supposed to be now? What do I do? Where do I go?
Be whoever you want to be. Do what you feel you should. Go wherever you want.
What do I want?
You have the rest of your life to discover that. This may help you.
A book?
A journal. Not to be read, but written. All the blank pages are all the days of your life ahead. A new past that you will create day by day. You hold the pen. What you choose to write is up to you.